The story of a strange strike that happened right here in the town of Normal. Strange because everybody went to work, everybody got paid, and everybody went to jail. One of those young men who went to jail was Jeff Feasley.
The lack of freedom is kind of mind-boggling.
Feasley didn't shoplift or beat anyone or even steal a car. He went to jail on purpose. That purpose was winning a contract for his union. Feasley was one of two dozen Normal firefighters who in 1978 spent 42 days in jail as part of the longest firefighter strike in history. Now, if that sounds unusual, 24 firefighters being sentenced to jail, that's because it was unprecedented.
We were just kind of forced out the door, and then they were going to use what had worked before and crush us, and it didn't work out that way.
The 56-day strike placed the town of Normal in the national spotlight during a tumultuous decade for public employee organizing. It also helped spark changes to state law to ensure it is not repeated today. As the 45th anniversary of the strike nears, WGLT's Ryan Denham revisited the episode through interviews with those who were there.
The strike didn't just happen overnight. The town of Normal actually used volunteer firefighters until 1969, when the professional fire department was created. Normal was growing, and so was Illinois State University. Jeff Feasley wanted in. He had learned the value of the fire service early in life, when his family's home caught fire two separate times.
My aunt and uncle's house got to the point of where it caught our house on fire, and I came home from school and my house was gone.
Feasley joined the Normal Fire Department in January 1978 at the age of 23.
When I was on there, everybody on the department, with a few exceptions, that was who they were. They were firefighters. You know, to lose that job would be kind of like losing a part of your personal identity. It's that kind of a job. It really is. It becomes part of you.
The white-collar community of Normal was the least likely spot to find militant public employees. That's according to Mike Matika, a Bloomington Normal labor historian who literally wrote the book on firefighter unionization in Illinois.
Bloomington had public employee unions since the 1930s, but Normal had not ever recognized a public employee union.
But in the 1970s, Matika said there was a great upsurge in public employee organizing nationally, including police, teachers, and firefighters.
Illinois was really an outlier because as an industrial state, Illinois had no public employee law. So it was very wide open.
By 1977, the Normal firefighters had organized and were looking to be recognized and negotiate their first contract with the town. They were getting frustrated, but there was a big hang-up. The firefighters wanted their officers, like captains and lieutenants, to be part of their bargaining unit, and the town very much did not want that. It was a stalemate. Paul Harmon was a Normal town council member in 1978 and later became mayor.
Look at it from an employer's point of view. Do you want your management people to be part of the bargaining unit? Do you want your management people bargaining with management? Management personnel are supposed to be representing the employer. The employer is the town. They're not supposed to be representing the other side.
The union felt that if so many employees were excluded, they wouldn't have any leverage in future contract disputes.
And as small as Normal's department was at the time, there wouldn't be much of a union if the working officers were not part of the bargaining unit.
They were at a logjam. And it was a bigger dispute than just a town and a small union. The town had hired a Chicago law firm, now known as Seyfarth Shaw. The firefighter union was represented by attorney Dale Berry and firebrand union representative Mike Lass. Here's Jeff Feasley, the firefighter.
These two law firms had been banging heads at multiple places around the state. And so essentially the city and the union became actually pawns in this struggle between these two entities for dominance of the union market or whatever they were dealing with.
The Normal Firefighters Local 2442 took its first strike vote in February of 1978. They actually walked out a few weeks later on Tuesday, March 21st. Jim Schrepfer was a new firefighter back then, joining at the height of the strike.
They had no guarantee they were going to get their job back. They had kids, they had families, they had, you know, some of them newly married, some of them engaged.
Matika says the firefighters walked out with their gear and two-way radios. They were able to respond to fire calls even while on strike.
If the firefighters go on strike, they couldn't withhold services because the town would burn. There were instances in the early 70s where departments in Dayton and Kentucky actually did that. And the strike ended badly for the firefighters.
To get the normal firefighters back at work, the town went to court and sought a temporary injunction. Judge Bill Casely says he instead gave them a temporary restraining order against the strike.
I was really quite concerned because at that time there were a lot of rooming houses in and around the campus. Instead of being what we have now with large apartment buildings and so forth, these were frame houses, and they were built before the era of students coming with coffee makers and popcorn poppers and hair dryers and so forth. They were not wired for those types of things. And so I was concerned that we really did have a danger of cooking some students, and that would not be good.
Nobody wanted that, but that's where the agreement ended. Coming up, Judge Casely makes a decision that surprises just about everybody. You're listening to WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. We're devoting today's special episode to the Normal firefighter strike 45 years ago. It was March 1978. The town of Normal's firefighters were on strike, and their negotiations with the town leaders were continuing. Firefighters briefly returned to work, but then the strike resumed. With that temporary restraining order from Judge Bill Casely, the firefighters were now officially in contempt of court.
So I revoked their probation, and I sentenced them to 42 days in the county jail. And oh my goodness, there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and and these otherwise law-abiding people were sitting down in the county jail.
Firefighter Jeff Feasley was in court that day, March 31st, 1978.
We were a little surprised because what they had done, according to the Safe Earth Shaw playbook, was they locked up the negotiating team. And they put pressure on them by having the negotiating team locked up. Well, this is the first time they locked up everybody.
Casely laid out his plan. The jailed firefighters would be split into two groups. Half would work on odd number days while the rest were in jail. Then they'd change places on even number days. They'd be paid throughout. Here's Mike Matika.
You know, it was some very grim days, you know, and 42 days in jail wore people down. They didn't get time with their families. They were sentenced to the same regiment in Sheriff John King's jail, and Sheriff King was pretty infamous in the community for running a very, very tough jail. You know, there was no special treatment.
Paul Harmon, the Normal Town Council member, says he remembers visiting them in jail.
And what really struck me was, like everybody in the county jail, their shoestrings were all taken away, so they couldn't lace their shoes or anything. I found that sad.
Yet, the firefighter's story was starting to spread.
My cousin lives in California, and we were on the nightly news. I mean, like, nationwide news. And she called my mother, and she goes, "Why is Jeff on TV, and why is he in jail?" And
those morning shift changes at station number one on Gregory Street from one jailed crew to another became a rallying point. The firefighters' families would show up to see their husband or father, so would other supporters.
That really helped keep everybody's mind set, you know, keep you from getting depressed and everything. We weren't forgotten by the community or anything, and it was amazing. just regular citizens, relatives, other fire departments. But every day there was probably at least 70, 80 people there, and some days a couple hundred.
In spring of 1978, Steve Westerdahl was less than a year into his job as the Town of Normal's Community Development Officer and Personnel Officer. He was in many of the bargaining sessions. In the court of public opinion, he says there were roughly three distinct sides.
One side being, who cares, not paying any attention. The other, another side being full-time residents, adults, working people, et cetera, who I think were more aligned behind the town, not certainly 100%. But then the younger people, especially the ISU students, they were fully behind the fire department.
It led to some lively town council meetings. Outside of one meeting in April of 1978, those supporting the firefighters staged a theatrical production that took aim at town officials and their lawyers.
I'm Councilwoman Jocelyn Bell. I say let them rot in jail. The town has fire protection as long as they're in jail. Carl Sneed here. Before we'll give in to you, we'll let the town burn to the ground.
Judge Casely, we need a temporary restraining order to end this strike.
Okay, you can have it, but you must negotiate.
Oh my God, it means we gotta talk to him.
I think I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train, engine 2442.
Here's former council member Paul Harmon.
If you went to a council meeting, you would have thought the whole town was for the firefighters because you had all these people in there just yelling and screaming. You know, one night, the two women in the back of the room, and one was going, "You're all Nazis," and the other one was going, "You're all communists." And I wanted to stand up and say, "We can't be both. Make a choice."
Dale Berry, the firefighter's attorney, worked the public opinion angle too.
The key to the jailhouse door is in the hands of the mayor and the councilman, and that key is in the form of a contract proposal that's fair, that's just, and can be accepted and ratified by the members of Oak 2442. Until such a proposal is forthcoming, they'll remain in jail, I'm sure.
Harmon says one misconception is that the town asked for the firefighters to be jailed. It didn't.
I'm sure Judge Casely thought it was the right thing to do at the time, but I think it was really, in hindsight, it was a critical mistake because it sort of just hardened the position totally.
Matiga agrees. He says their jailing made it a national issue.
It was a rare night that one of the three networks was not reporting from Normal, Illinois. So that really also, I think, gave the firefighters the spirit that, hey, we got to do this now because we're in the spotlight to win this.
There was a bit of numerical irony, too. Local 2442 was sent to jail, 24 people for 42 days. Casely says the 42-day term was intentional, but for a different reason.
42 days would get us after ISU commencement, and after that, the danger of a conflagration in Normal would decline greatly because 20,000 students would be going home and summer school enrollment was not that large at that time.
Casely says he thought the dispute would get resolved during that 42-day window, and he says the firefighters could go back to work at any time and purge themselves of being in contempt of court.
Well, there was nothing that I could do to you know, I tried everything. I got federal mediators. I had a conversation with the people in the governor's office.
Tensions escalated again on May 8, 1978, when the town announced it was hiring a private company called Eagle 911, Inc. to provide fire service.
But bringing strikebreakers in really fired up support with other labor groups in the community, too. Because this was seen as, okay, you've crossed the line now, Town of Normal, by bringing in replacement workers.
Town staffer Steve Westerdahl says the Eagle 911 move was a mistake.
I think it was mostly, to be honest, a PR thing to let the community know, well, the fire department's in jail, but we have hired an outside company to come in and put out fires, which did not work out at all.
Westerdahl recalled the day when demonstrators gathered in front of station number 2 in opposition to the Eagle 911 strikebreakers inside. Normal's police chief, Richard McGuire, went outside to try to quell things. Westerdahl himself went to the station's back door and hustled the Eagle 911 guys out, drove them to the airport, and they flew away.
It went on and on and on. We could not agree. And I remember distinctly Easter Sunday, 1978, I was in the McLean County Jail negotiating with the bargaining team.
The firefighters' jail sentence ended May 11th, 1978, and the strike by then was nearing its end. The town's moves to hire replacement firefighters had not worked. Even a newly hired probationary firefighter quickly joined the strike instead.
After 50-plus days and national publicity in the town kind of becoming this cause célèbre across the country, you know, this is not the image that the town wanted. So I think that finally said, okay, let's get back to the table and really resolving the issue of the bargaining unit moved along pretty quickly after that.
The town agreed that lieutenants and now captains could be part of the bargaining unit. The firefighters voted unanimously to approve the contract, which also included wage increases of 7% to 8%. The town council approved it hours later. It was Monday, May 15th, 1978, and the 56-day strike was over. Coming up, you'll hear how the fight in Normal helped lead to change statewide. And we'll talk to the current head of the Normal Firefighters Union about their relationship with the town today. You're listening to Sound Ideas. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Today, we've taken you back to 1978, when the Normal Fire Department went on strike and then went to jail. Jeff Feasley, the young firefighter who began our story, is now retired. He says his time in jail was absolutely worth it.
If we had not done that, and if we had not been successful, and whether they will admit to it or not, there is no one in Normal that would have the benefits they have, that would have the salary they have, that would have the working conditions they have. And I mean every department. Because what we did was we set a standard.
More firefighter strikes would follow in other cities. Chicago's 1980 strike lasted 23 days.
Normal was critical, was waking up the Illinois legislature that we have to somehow come up with a solution to this.
And they did. In 1986, Governor Jim Thompson signed a bill that entitled public employees to collective bargaining. Illinois voters further codified that with last year's passage of the Workers' Rights Amendment. Matt Hill is the current president of the Normal Firefighters Local 2442.
When the governor, Jim Thompson, signed that into law, we signed away our right to strike. So nowadays we cannot go on strike, but it also gave us binding arbitration. Mm-hmm. So if we go into a contract negotiation and we reach a stalemate or we just have an issue that we can't come to an agreement on, we can go to mediation and then arbitration, and whatever that arbitrator's ruling comes down with would be our binding agreement. Mm-hmm. So for every issue, small or large, there's a process for it.
These days, Hill says the union's relationship with the town is pretty good.
In a perfect world, labor management is two equal sides sitting at the table, addressing issues before basically putting out small fires before they turn into big fires. Sometimes it works great, and sometimes it's a little bit contentious.
It's been 45 years since the firefighters went to jail, but Hill says the story is intentionally passed down to today's firefighters. He says labor history is actually a required part of the training that new recruits receive at the state's fire academy, with the 1978 strike prominently featured.
When I started my first day on the job about 15 years ago, my captain on the first day, he gave me what we call the union talk. And he told me the stories, and he said, this is why we have all this stuff. And it resonated with me because I came from a non-union fire department before I came down here. So I was obviously making a lot less money and didn't have all the benefits that we're talking about. So as soon as I came in the door and I saw, wow, this is going to be a lot better place to work, and I've got all this more money, benefits, a pension, he said, this is why you have it. And it's because of our contract, and it's because of the strike that our guys went through back then that laid the foundation for everything that you have now.
Union membership has declined nationally from 20% of workers in 1983 to just 10% last year. Yet the labor movement has enjoyed a surge in popularity as of late, with workers at Starbucks, Amazon, and Chipotle unionizing in a demand for higher wages and better working conditions. Support for labor unions in the U.S. is at a 57-year high, according to a Gallup poll released last summer. Mike Matika, the labor historian, says there's a lot to learn from a 45-year-old labor strike.
The main lesson in this or in any labor struggle is democracy. People need a voice on the job. And many, many times it breaks down to respect. It's sometimes wages and hours, but most frequently it's people feeling they're not heard and people wanting respect to where they're giving their life's energy.
The story lives on in other ways. Just last year, the Bloomington and Normal Trades and Labor Assembly launched a new honor called the 2442 Labor Militancy Award. It was awarded to the AFSCME Local 1110, which represents ISU building and food service workers for their contract fight just last spring. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can see our big photo gallery of historical images from the 1978 Normal Firefighters strike at WGLT.org.